Our scripture lesson for today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the congregation at Colossae, the first chapter, beginning with verse 12. We're in the middle of one of St. Paul's sentences. The Father has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. May they increase our faith through them. Amen. My senior year of high school, I had hopes and dreams of being the starting point guard on our basketball team. The guy that I used to enter the game for my junior year, the year before, was now graduated, and it just seemed natural I would be the next starting point guard. So my friends and I were talking like that. Well, as it turned out, that my coach thought I was a little too short, a little too slow, couldn't shoot well enough. I know, looking at me, how would you think that? So I just didn't meet his standards, and I got cut. I got cut from the whole team. So I went from thinking I was going to be the starting point guard to not even making the team my senior year. And he brought up some sophomores below me who I found out were certainly better athletes. Sometimes when we try to get into certain things, maybe make it into a play or get that certain spot in the choir, maybe certain things with sports and athletics as well, we may find that the people who have to make judgments about us feel that we just don't quite measure up to the standards that they may have. It happens in classes too. There are standards that we have to get certain grades in classes. There are standards that we have to get into certain majors. It could be, as every year there are students on this campus that find out that the thing they really wanted to do with their life, maybe they just don't have the academic gifts to be able to do that. You might find it out someday with trying to apply for a job. There might be certain standards and qualifications that you just don't meet. Strangely enough, it can even happen in dating. Maybe the person you would really like to ask out just is not interested in you. And sometimes those standards that we think we want to hope to try to meet are out of our control. They're things maybe that it's just impossible for us to be able to try to meet, and oftentimes then can be met with disappointment, like being a short, slow little white point guard who can't jump very well. St. Paul in our text uses a very interesting Greek word. And it's a word that gets translated to qualify. And that's what he's talking about. There's a standard and qualifying. It's a word that means to authorize something. Somebody who has the position of authority to approve of something, to authorize it, and to make something now be sufficient to meet a certain level and standard. That's kind of what's packaged into this Greek word. And the word is ikanao. It means to qualify then. Now, inside of our own consciences, just inside of each one of our minds and hearts, we know that we really don't qualify before God. We don't qualify to someday get to live in his presence. And it's because we know ourselves, and we know what our lives have been like. Right in our hearts and consciences, we know the standards. God says, "You shall be holy, as I, the Lord your God, am holy." Jesus says, "You shall be perfect as your Father who is in heaven is perfect." James says, "Whosoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking all of it." So because that standard has been etched into our very consciences and minds, just as human beings, because we have the standard with us all the time, we're constantly realizing we just don't quite measure up and qualify for what God would ask of us and God would want of us. A few years ago, I was talking to a gentleman who is retired now, but he used to serve in the U.S. Customs Agency. And his job, he worked with in the area of garments and clothing. And his job was to make sure that the garments that came, let's say, from Europe or South America or China, that the stitching that was used, the type of cloth used in the stitching, was good enough to meet the standards of the American people and public. And he had to even inspect zippers and buttons. And in fact, sometimes companies over in other countries would fly him there to make sure to watch how they were doing this, to make sure it would qualify here in America for these tiny little stitches that the goods would be allowed to come into our country. You know, when it comes to our sins, I think of my big, really bad things that I've done in my life that I'm really ashamed of. Those certainly disqualify us before God. But even the little stitches in our life, even the little things in our life, the tiny little sins that we've forgotten about, even those would keep us out of heaven, would disqualify us from someday being led into heaven. And that's why the way Paul uses this word is so beautiful for us and hopeful for us. Because what he says is this: God has qualified us. God is the one that's done the work of qualifying you and me. He's the one, he knows the standard, he set the standard, and he knows we don't meet it. And through the blood of his Son, through the gift of Christ and what Jesus has done for us, God has now qualified you as a Christian. He has qualified you. He has, in his own eyes, and he's the judge, put you now at a standard by which you would be allowed into heaven. And that's all been done automatically through the work of his Son on your behalf. So today, if you're sitting here today and there's something in your life that really makes you worried about that day of judgment, if there's something way back in your conscience that kind of terrifies you as far as God knowing about it, maybe it's a secret about you that nobody else at all will ever know. If the standard in your mind for what it's going to take for you to get to walk through the gates of heaven seems impossible, then look closely at this text. Look at it. It is God who's the one that's done the qualifying. He's qualified you for heaven. A few years ago, when my daughter was newly married, she married a young man, my son-in-law, who's a really good athlete, and he's a tremendous runner. He'll often finish in the top 3% of huge, like, half marathons and things like that. My daughter inherited my athletic ability. Why do you laugh? No, but my daughter inherited my athletic ability, and she's not much of a runner, but she'll sometimes go on runs because he does. And one time they were in a race up in Duluth, and they got ready for the race and everything. And as they got done, my son-in-law was pretty good, was probably within the top 15 or 20 runners of all the hundreds of men that ran. My daughter was way back at the pack, at the end of the pack. When they got back, you can actually look up online. They give you a little chip that you put in your shoe that tells you whether or not or where you placed as you cross the finish line. And as they looked at their scores on the thing, here my daughter had won the race. And then she realized they must have switched their shoe chips. And that's why it was my son-in-law that beat all the women and not my daughter. When it comes to qualifying for us to win the race of heaven, God has put that on someone else, not you. He's put it on his Son. And he is the one who has run the race perfectly. And God just now gives you full credit for what he has done through the work of Christ. Notice in all of the verbs in our text that the action is always on the side of God. He qualifies us. He delivers us. The NIV has. He rescues us out of darkness. He conveys us. Some translations use the word that he translates us from one into the other. And so today, if you're concerned about whether or not you personally qualify for entrance into heaven, just ask yourself a simple question. Would Jesus qualify to be led into heaven by how he lived his life? Well, Paul says to us, those of you who have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. You've put on Christ. You are him now when it comes to judgment day. If you've ever had a chance to go into a deep, dark cave and maybe have everybody turn the lights off and you're in absolute pitch darkness, if you've ever been in real extreme with no light at all, just a tiny light of a candle can make such a difference. You can see so much. Paul talks about that we as children of God now are children of light. by faith in Christ. And that the tiny little light of the gospel that doesn't seem like much to the world, that gets spit at and despised by the world, is enough to illumine for us the ability to see who God is, to know him, to know he loves us, he sent his son for us, to know the future that he has for us, all because of that little light of the gospel that he's given us in his word. And so may we cherish that light, because it's the very thing that qualifies us for heaven and makes us saints of light as we look forward someday to living in his presence in the mansions above. Amen. We rise for our hymn.